From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. In Egypt, protesters continue to demand the ouster of President Hosni Mubarak, and reportedly, talks are underway behind the scenes to determine how to appease those protesters. Meanwhile, as NPR's Corey Flintoff reports from Cairo, authorities are hoping to get business back on track in Egypt.
As we were driving through central Cairo, we saw that there are some shops now that seem to have reopened. There is some street life, and certainly there was a lot of traffic. But the economy is not going to get going again until the banks reopen and people are able to get at their money. So that's something that's expected to sort of return things to a little more normalcy tomorrow. The opening of the stock market, I talked to an economist today who said that he feels that if there's not a resolution, the stock market could plunge when it opens, whereas if there is a resolution, he expects stocks to go quite high.
NPR's Corey Flintoff in Cairo. There was a smattering of anti-Mubarak protests in the U.S. this weekend. In Washington, more than 100 people marched from the Egyptian embassy to the White House to demand that the Egyptian president step down. Other demonstrations were staged in New Orleans, New York, Atlanta, and Seattle. The U.N. High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, is condemning the physical assaults, intimidation, and arbitrary detention of dozens of journalists and human rights activists in Egypt. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva on what Pillay says is an attempt to stifle news of what's going on in that country.
High Commissioner Pillay says the journalists and human rights defenders were arrested for practicing their professions. She's calling for their immediate and unconditional release.
The authorities must order their security and intelligence forces to cease this extreme harassment at once.
Pillay also urges the authorities to keep communications and internet services open and protect media premises. She accuses them of restricting or manipulating the free flow of information and says this must stop. She notes change is coming to Egypt, as it has come to Tunisia. She warns the Egyptian authorities must respect the human rights of their people if they wish to maintain stability in the country. For NPR News, I'm Lisa Schlein in Geneva.
Authorities say police fired on an angry crowd of about 1,000 in Tunisia today after protesters attacked the police station in the northwestern town of Kef. The Interior Ministry there says 2 people were killed and 17 were injured. The clash pitting police against citizens appeared to be among the most serious since an uprising began 3 weeks ago. After much debate and an 11th-hour ratification vote in the Senate, the newly ratified arms control treaty with Russia is in effect. This is NPR. A cold, icy blast has made this an especially memorable first Super Bowl week in Dallas-Fort Worth. The Packers and Steelers meet in the $1.3 billion covered Cowboys Stadium tomorrow night. The question is, will all ticket holders be able to make it? Bad weather forced the cancellation of hundreds of flights, and while the mercury climbed above freezing today, snow is back in the forecast for game day. The Pro Football Hall of Fame announced its class of inductees today. NPR's Mike Pesca reports the list of enshrinees includes Deion Sanders, Marshall Faulk, and the founder of NFL Films.
Deion Sanders was the greatest player to ever shut down an opposing wide receiver. He might not have tackled well, he might have bragged more than football traditionalists could stomach, but he would essentially take away half the field with his blazing speed and great instincts. Sanders will be joined by the ultimate all-purpose back Marshall Faulk, one of only 2 players to record over 1,000 yards rushing and receiving in the same season. Former Bears defensive end Richard Dent joins them, as do former linebackers Chris Hamburger and Les Richter, and tight end Shannon Sharp. Also to be enshrined is Ed Sable, who founded NFL Films, chronicler of all Hall of Famers past and present. Mike Pesca, NPR News, Dallas.
Federal rules regarding banking overdraft fees changed over the summer. Until then, banks frequently charged overdraft fees of up to $35 apiece on numerous transactions in one day. Now, in the wake of the change, Bank of America is agreeing to pay $410 million to settle a lawsuit about overdraft fees. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.